It'll work if you can get it.
Oh, insurance.
Other questions? I think it's more like 10% personally.
Yeah,
I don't. And I think some of them are 5.
I did have one question for you.
Senator Elton and then Senator Tatum.
Just a follow up on Senator Helfert's question. I guess I assumed in this program that if in fact during the public comment period there were reservations expressed by the public that the director or the department would be able to negotiate the bond price. Am I mistaken?
I'll let Jim Haynes handle that question better.
Under the current statutes and regulations under statute 3805-130A, a surface owner who cannot come to terms with proposed activity on his land has the right to request a hearing by the director of the Division of Oil and Gas. We have had a little bit of experience with that a few years ago, and it seems to be peacefully resolved. What we would hope that this new legislation would do with $500,000 in place is to be able to tell a landowner that, or landowner in this case, that would want a hearing, is you're certainly entitled to it, and we will visit with you, but $500,000 is a pretty high bond, and it's already in place for your benefit.
Senator.
Yeah, just following up on that, you are allowed to exceed that amount if you determine that there's a greater risk.
Yes, sir.
So as a consequence, if you had drill rigs moving into a subdivision in Wasilla, you might very well require, are you sensitive to that, and does the department take that into consideration when they determine the amount of bonding required?
I think that we're very concerned about the, I'll ask the soil and gas industry is changing, and for the first time we're going to do areas not only residential in nature, but where the ownership patterns are very complicated. And we're aware of it. We've asked for a little bit of help in the permitted compliance section so that we can monitor this land. An oil and gas operation on our slope is going to be a lot different than one in Caribbean, Scudella, or Wasilla. So, yes, we are aware of it.
Now, maybe I'm missing the way the process works, but isn't this an area-wide process where your determinations are all made on a very large area before the actual location where somebody's going to drill is even considered?
No. There is stipulations, environmental stipulations and mitigation measures that go with this. There is no best interest finding that the state does with conventional sales or with its exploration licenses, but there are stipulations and mitigation measures that go for review depending on, and the review varies depending on whether or not. Fundamentally, those environmental requirements are just area by area. The bonding requirements, though, are more specific, actually occurring, and that ability to change will look at the risk of that particular operation. In other words, there's obviously a different requirement for drilling than there is for a surface prospect. And so the lease operation approval process that occurs looks at each individual activity, whether it be putting the road in, whether it be drilling the well, or whether it be shooting seismic, as separate. And bonding then is to be appropriate to that particular level in that regard.
And that particular site, be it a 10-acre lot within a 100,000-acre area-wide activity?
One of the concerns is, which I believe, Senator Taylor, you're getting at, is that particular 10-acre, our concern was that the surface owner, should it be different than the state, needed to have clear protection.
Right.
We felt that putting the $50,000 out there up front provided some protection against surface damage if that person just got on that site prematurely, say, with his bulldozer, decided he wanted a clear path to as well without going to us. There was automatically money for him to have that lease or not. He didn't have a statewide bond. Secondly, that when they went to the plan of operations, we would have enough protection for that surface owner, in addition to the other bonds that deal with the risks of downhole, contamination, et cetera, and abandonment issues.
I hope they never get to the point where they end up draining some large recreational lake, because I think they're going to have a lot more money involved.
The other questions?
I don't have any other questions. I'm just going to move your amendment.
Okay, this is just cleanup. We'll put competition in there instead of completion.
I kind
of
like that.
I move the amendment to page 3, line 1, delete competition, insert completion.
Okay, amendment number 1 is removed. Is there objection? Hearing none, that's been adopted. That brings the bill back to force as amended. Ready to rock and roll.
Move the bill as amended from committee with individual recommendation.
The motion to move the bill, is there objection? Hearing none, that'll move on to finance. Next, we have concurrent resolution number 28, establishing the joint legislative salmon industry task force. Prime sponsor Senator Osterman, his staff is here to tell us all
is
about it.
Is there a CS for that around?
We do have a CS somewhere in the file. So, Ivan, why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're doing here.
For the record, my name is Ian Fisk. I'm staff to Senator Alan Osterman. I'm here to present SDR 28 to you. It's getting late. I'll be brief. I know that the Senate Resources Committee is well aware of the crisis in Alaska's salmon industry and well aware of the gravity of that crisis. What this resolution does is it allows the legislature to step up to the plate and provide some real leadership to find solutions to the salmon industry's problems. Previous summits, there's been three of them, that the administration organized on this issue, made some strides, and members of the industry put some good effort into those. We will review the findings of those summits, but those summits have essentially, if you look at the current situation in the industry, apparently they've amounted to a strikeout, and to use the baseball analogy, we're going to step up to the plate, and we might not hit the home run that wins the game, but we'll at least get a few men on base. If you'd like, I can go over the few changes that we've made with the committee substitute.
Would you do that, please?
Okay.
We can adopt that.
Certainly. Page 3, line 2, we've inserted allowing the task force to research methods to improve the quality of Alaska salmon products.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly an important issue. On line 13, we've added, as I mentioned, that the task force will review findings of previous salmon summits and incorporate any useful information in its report. On line 17, we added a further resolve that the members of the task force are to conduct their business with a statewide vision of the crisis in the Alaska salmon industry and the need to find solutions to the crisis. We've changed on lines 23 through 25. We've made a few changes to the structure. There will be 2 members from the Senate, 2 members from the House of Representatives, and 9 public members who are involved in the commercial salmon industry. On line 27, it is further resolved that the members of the task force shall be appointed to represent the statewide salmon industry as a whole and not just a particular region or a harvesting sector of the industry. And essentially these changes are meant to recognize, you know, the original language specified that there'll be representatives from each region. Certainly we want to have good political representation from the regions, but it's a statewide industry and we want it to reflect that.
And I'm assuming that Senator Austin is okay with this. Yes.
Yes.
Senator Austin. Move to adopt the CS as the bill before the committee.
Motion to adopt version L, UNML 22702. Is there objection? Hearing none, that will be the version before us. Let's do some public testimony. Is there questions, Ian?
Yeah.
Senator Halford and Senator Elton.
I have a question about, one is a definitional question, and that is 9 public members involved in the commercial salmon industry. I'm wondering what that means in terms of what is the... Obviously, fishermen, processors, but some of the people that you might want to utilize may be in the education side or in a kind of a broad interpretation of involved in the commercial salmon industry. And I just want to make sure that's your intent, because I think otherwise you might be excluding some people that you might find worthwhile to have on there.
Through the chair, Senator Halford, I agree, and that is the intent. I think that
involved is intended to be interpreted broadly.
Okay. Senator Elton, Senator Stevens.
Just to kind of follow up on that before I ask my question. I mean, I think it would be especially important to have somebody involved in the transportation industry because that clearly contributes to the cost effectiveness of the industry. And I think, Ian, that I understand, but on page 3, I want to make sure that I understand. I mean, lines 15 and 16 could be construed by some to be in conflict with the further resolved on lines 27 through 29. I think I think what you're trying to do on line 15 and 16 is just acknowledge that there is no holistic solution, and that you know different areas of the state may require different solutions. And I want to make sure that the resolve on that begins on line 27 doesn't conflict with that, where you say that the task force shall be appointed to represent the statewide salmon industry as a whole and not just a particular region or harvesting sector of the industry.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, you're correct. Certainly, there aren't going to be necessarily solutions that are going to affect the industry across the board. Each region of the state has particular issues, but what the intent of the sponsor in this language is to make sure that in selecting members for this task force that we don't select people who have a narrow interest in the industry, and that we want people who are going to have the ability to look at the big picture.
To look out beyond the region, from beyond the regional perspective.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Senator Halpin.
One other question.
Go ahead.
I was just going to answer his question if he had it, but that's all right. Go ahead.
another question. I agree with basically narrowing the focus to commercial fisheries issues from where it was initially. But there is one whereas left in here that I think will kind of maybe tweak the other interest unnecessary. And that is, whereas allocation issues between commercial fisheries and sport fisheries are becoming more problematic all the time. That is probably not something we need to get into in this consideration, and should probably come out with the other membership. So that this is aimed at commercial fisheries, crisis, marketing, all the issues around the organization and structure, not at the allocation issues that so often defeat other efforts of change. And I would suggest that we might consider not saying that.
Through the chair, Senator Halford, I don't believe that the sponsor would have any objection to that. It is intended to focus on the commercial salmon industry.
I agree with Senator Halford, but it's probably a little bit beyond what you want to get into for this, and recognize that part of the problem might be allocation in some people's minds, but it's all about bigger issues. We need a bigger task force.
A few other people on it.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, to go back further to what Senator Halford had asked about as far as the intent with the membership, we do have the intent, again, of focusing on the commercial industry. And bringing members in, we want to make sure that industry is extremely well represented on the task force, but we will be able to contract out and bring in information from other sources and that sort of thing.
Senator Halford, do you have an amendment? Do you want to?
I would just move and ask unanimous consent that we delete on page 2, lines 8 and 9.
And then, is there objection to amendment number 1? To the CS. Seeing none, then that amendment has been adopted. So, Mr. Stevens, Senator Stevens?
No, I was
we
just going
to your question by not calling on you, huh?
It's usually what I find happens around here. But.
Okay, Senator Wilkins.
I would suspect, Ian, that at the end of this, in January of 2003, that the deliverable that comes out of this would revolve around the 14 whereases that we have. And I don't know much about salmon, but I do know since I've been here, I've heard a lot about farm fish and the threat that presents to our industry. Yet in the 14, we don't address head-on the farm fish issue. And I wonder if that would be appropriate so that it is part of the final product, or are we just whistling past the graveyard by not addressing it?
Senator Wilkin, salmon farming is to a large degree responsible for what has changed the marketplace for our salmon. And in light of that, we do need to consider what we can learn from countries such as Chile. However, I think there's broad-based consensus that we focus on the strengths of the wild salmon industry and how to help it better compete. I believe that there is in the resolve on the top of line 3, it says that on the top of page 3, starting on the bottom of page 2, it says that be it further resolved that the duties include recommending improvements to the marketing efforts of the Alaska salmon industry and ensuring the distinction of Alaska salmon products from farmed salmon, which is really what the industry faces the most. But you're right, we do have.
Thank you. No, I'm done. Thank you.
Senator Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ian, I don't have a fiscal note in here, and I don't know if anybody else does.
At this time, we do not have a fiscal note. We will have that before it gets to the Finance Committee. There's some things we have to come up with some better estimates of what this is going to cost.
Senator Halford.
I would just suggest that on that topic that, well, maybe it's okay to do it in the Finance Committee, but I would recommend that the fiscal note be substantial enough to get the kind of expertise that it takes to work on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do this for, you can hold the meetings and give people per diem for this time period for less than $50,000. But when we all turn around and look to somebody at the University of Washington to say what the runs are going to be and don't have that expertise in state, I think they need at least $200,000 just in the contractual line to get the kind of expert advice they're going to need, and maybe considerably more than that. So I would hope that we at least are recommending to the Finance Committee that it have a very significant fiscal note.
I believe we've been talking half a million.
Senator Torgerson, I don't know that we have a firm estimate at this time, but I agree that it would be.
There has been some discussions about half a million and how this broke out. I'm not really sure, but comment on it.
The original request was for $500,000, which, with the intent to make the money available to seek expertise as needed. So it was up to $500,000 being available. So that was what we thought was enough to get it, have some horsepower to it. Yeah.
Well, I agree too. You can just,
And I think we have.
It may not be enough, like Senator Halford
said. The other thing, just to talk, address your concern, Senator Halford, about the concept of industry, and that was what we chose on for the word was industry. That all players are affected, whether it be transportation or managers, or instead of trying to delineate a seat by participant, i.e. a manager or a fisherman or a transportation planner, we chose to try to open it up as far as we could by saying industry, which could be someone in research, could be anybody.
Yeah, as long as I didn't want to exclude academic side.
That's what we tried not to do. Although, the most important thing is that we get people that understand the business.
It's in our branch, so we're going to be making a phone. So obviously, I just want to make sure that's what the intent was. That's what I thought it was.
I was just going to say to the same point that, I think that the discussion is exactly on point. I would hope that that this task force would have the same working relationship with Ledge Council that Senator Torgerson's task force has had. And I think Ledge Council has vetted and approved requests that lead to the kind of purchase of knowledge that we need to make reasonable and rational decisions. I think also that, quite frankly, this task force is going to need some staff that is dedicated only to this. And I don't think we can go down to the Department of Fish and Game and ask to borrow their people. I don't think they've got people to lend. So.
Okay, we have three people on teleconference that I'd like to get to. So thank you. And I would appreciate it to keep your comments short since we're running way late here. So let's go to Cordova and Sue Asplund.
United, and we represent the commercial fishing fleets of Area E. You obviously are all well aware of the issues facing our industry, and we feel that the committee substitute for SCR 28 provides us with the opportunity to begin the very important discussions on how we might need to structure the reevaluation of our industry. We feel strongly that the successful approach will include the following three components. One, we believe that whatever process is undertaken to address salmon industry issues must be done on a statewide basis and must be controlled by Alaskans in Alaska. Number two, we believe that representatives of the salmon industry, fishermen, tendermen, and processors must be involved throughout the process from the beginning and at the most basic level. Finally, in addition, for the necessary discussions to move forward, a funding mechanism required. Our industry simply does not have the resources and infrastructure necessary to facilitate the broad-based and far-reaching considerations that have got to occur in order to achieve success. And an additional point that I've not heard mentioned, but that I think is important to recognize, is that in order to enable the participation of the processors in these discussions, going to require being convened by government in order to address antitrust concerns. And at this point, we believe that this committee substitute does a good job of outlining most of the problems of our industry and suggests an important starting point and process for us to begin to address them. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's go to Kodiak and Chris Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Chris Burns, and I've been with this here out of Kodiak and all different places in the state since 1970. And very little action has come out of the Senate forums or the administration Senate cabinet. The industry has been investigating and seeking solutions since the for the salmon industry since the peak salmon conference in Ketchikan in 1991, and when we had a drastic drop in sockeye price and pink price in the state. A lot is understood about the problems in our industry. Change can spark fear and paralysis of movement, moving in a positive direction, or you get a knee-jerk overreaction. You know, you'll get, and they may not, either one is good. So I think this task force should help our industry move in a positive direction with a slow transition. And what I'm speaking to is there's a lot of bills right now in the legislature that are basic policy changes from how the state's been doing business in the past. And so I think that this task force could address a lot of things that need to be addressed, and we can do a slow transition into some different way of doing business, which I think is necessary in some ways. So thank you very much for your time, and I totally support this task force and this bill, and I thank the sponsor and also the resource committee's consideration of this, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris, and thanks for waiting so long for... Next, we have Oliver Holm, also in Kodiak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Oliver Holm. I live in Kodiak and I'm a commercial fisherman. I've been since the 60s. The salmon market is a worldwide market, and a major part of this crisis is the cost, the price of fish, and the fact that farm salmon are entering our market at low prices that probably are below what salmon farmers in Chile can make. There are some fair trade issues to look into. There are corporations involved in salmon in Chile, and Japan, Alaska, Russia, Canada, Norway, in multiple areas. And if Alaska is going to make good decisions, there's a need to understand what market forces are in these other areas. There's Japanese and U.S. corporate involvement in Russian salmon hatcheries and processing. There's Japanese corporate involvement in Chilean salmon farms and Alaskan salmon processing. The thing needs to know if this crisis is due to multinational corporate manipulations of our market. A resolution in FBR 28 should include examination of these issues. If the state just reacts to the crisis, which is caused by the low price of fish currently, without understanding the future resource value of salmon, mistaken actions are likely. And I'd like to support Sue Aslan's comments about looking at a statewide basis and being controlled by Alaska and involving directly involved in fishing processes.
Okay, thank you, Oliver. Is there anybody else on teleconference? Okay, hearing none, brings the resolution back before the committee. Senator Stater.
The resolution as amended by the committee.
Motion to move the resolution. Is there objection? Hearing none. Resolution 28 from the committee with individual recommendation from the company. No. We'll gather one on the way. With that, we have no meeting on Friday, so we will have a meeting on Monday. And so we will stand adjourned for Monday at 3:30.